It was just a week ago that Hurricane Florence came through our region, leaving most of us with minimal problems as a result. I know my only problem after I returned home Monday afternoon was the absence of cable TV. I unplugged and plugged the system several times to no avail, finally gave up, read a book, and went to bed. That next morning, I got up and tried one more time to unplug and plug again before calling HTC, only to discover that the cable cord was not inserted into the cable outlet. So I couldn't even blame that problem on Florence. I had to blame it on me for being a moron and not doing that on Monday night. Some of us are facing more problems today than we did a week ago as a result of rising waters in our region. But all of us, prior to Florence's arrival, faced several problems as she made her way to us in almost slow motion with snail-like movement. We faced questions like, should I evacuate? Where am I going to go? Can I afford to evacuate? Will my house flood? What will I do with my pets if I evacuate? I got to tell you, there was a blessing to already being in New Orleans a week before Florence to take care of my mother as my wife and daughter evacuated with my daughter's cat. I was told that my daughter's cat meowed nonstop for 5 or 6 hours on the road. I did not miss that experience. How did you handle the problems that Florence brought into your life as she made her approach? Now, if you're a hurricane rookie, new to our area, and this was your first time, you realize, maybe too late, that there was something to all of these PSAs that are given out from time to time in Myrtle Beach about hurricane preparedness. That's some pretty important information to kind of make your own prior to an arrival of a hurricane. I mean, did you know what zone you lived in prior to last week? Did you know your evacuation route? Did you already have an emergency kit put together in a plastic tub in your bedroom closet? Did you have all of your important papers already in one central location in your home that you could easily take and leave as you evacuated? And did you have some cash stashed in a safe place in case you were on the road and electronics were not working and you could only purchase gas or food with cash? I mean, if you're prepared for a hurricane, it does decrease some of your anxiety as she approaches. So does being a follower of Jesus Christ. And so this morning I've put together a few thoughts that I'm calling Hurricane Preparedness for Disciples. I know I'm a week late with this sermon, but better late than never, right? After all, one day another hurricane is likely to approach our region, and I'd like for us to be prepared as disciples of Jesus should be prepared. Now, I know we could pray to God that He turn our region into a hurricane-free zone for all times. We could pray, Lord, we just ask that you never allow another hurricane to head in our direction. I think it'd be okay to pray that prayer, but I probably won't. What should we pray for as hurricanes approach our area? That we be spared? Well, that sounds good to me. What does that mean to our neighbors to the north or to the south of us if we're spared? What's God to do when we're all praying the same prayer to be spared up and down the East Coast? Maybe we should just pray that all of us be spared. Lord, turn that hurricane back into the Atlantic. Well, it will just break apart and disappear. Now, I like the sound of that too. In fact, I've prayed that prayer before. But I'll confess, I didn't pray that prayer last week for the poor people of the Philippines and Hong Kong and China that were ravaged by a typhoon with a Cat 5 hurricane strength. I admit that I am often selfish in my prayer life. I often just pray about me and those that I'm connected to. But even when I remember to pray for others, what do I expect God to do? Do I expect God to prevent every bad thing from happening in my life and in the life of my loved ones? I don't. It was Job who said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away." That is the rhythm of the world, a fallen world in which we now live. And there is giving and there is taking away. Now, it's okay for us to pray for God to remove our thorns in the flesh, as the Apostle Paul prayed. But I don't expect God to always do that for us. And so I think one day another hurricane, maybe like Hugo or even worse, will head in our direction. And so as disciples who struggle sometimes with what to pray for, not in just this situation, but in other areas of life, but specifically, I want you to think about hurricane preparedness for disciples in terms of our prayer life. Here's what I'd encourage us to pray for next time. The faith to continue to worship God, whether the hurricane hits us or not. That more important than whether the hurricane hits us or not is the preservation of our faith to God, whether during good times or bad. I'm always inspired when I read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego after King Nebuchadnezzar makes his threats to them. Their response is, "King, our God is able to save us from the fiery furnace, but even if he doesn't, we will not worship your God." That's the kind of faith we want to have as hurricanes approach, that whether our God saves us from the hurricane or not, we will only worship the one true and living God. Psalm 29 verse 10 says, "The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever." And that's true whether God saves us from the storm or whether God doesn't save us from the storm. So let's be sure as a church to always pray for faith to worship God even when hurricanes head in our direction. Now, hurricanes can be tracked and hurricanes can be recorded. We are fortunate to live in a time when this is possible and advance warning can be given like a week or 2 weeks ahead of time. Some of you are old enough to remember the time when hurricanes didn't knock on our front door for a week or two before they arrived. They just arrived like a door-to-door salesman out of the blue, ready to bust through our front door. And so I'm grateful that we live in a time where hurricanes can be tracked far ahead of time. But what I'd like for us to remember as we prepare for the next hurricane is this. While hurricanes can be tracked, they cannot be interpreted. I'm going to let you let that settle into your mind. Hurricanes can be tracked, but they cannot be interpreted. Did God choose to spare Myrtle Beach, but not Wilmington, North Carolina? Is that the interpretation that we should have? I know that when Hurricane Katrina swamped New Orleans, there were those who interpreted that hurricane and said it was God's judgment upon a city known for their sin, vice, and revelry. Now, since I'm from New Orleans, the joke for us was like, if that is true, well, God missed his mark because the French Quarter, the epicenter of such revelry, was totally spared any damage from Hurricane Katrina. But we have this nagging desire to interpret hurricanes, don't we? So was God punishing Wilmington for her sins, but not punishing Myrtle Beach for ours? Now, I know our good fortune here in Myrtle Beach has led many to declare that God heard our prayers. Doesn't he always? Doesn't he always hear our prayers? Now, I know what people mean is that God moved the storm from our path and moved it a little north of us as the result of our prayers. Did he really? Did God tell you that? I want us to learn that in preparation for the next hurricane, we can be thankful for our circumstances without pretending to be interpreters of recent events. Jesus told his disciples in Acts chapter 1 that there were just some things, like times and days, that they were not privy to. And I would just like to add to that list of things we're not privy to, hurricanes and the interpretation of them. Now, I get, because I've done this as a disciple, we all love God, and so we all want to sense the working of God around us, and so we're all tempted to take our spiritual telescopes and peer into the throne room of God in order to get an accurate interpretation of what's happening on ground level in us and around us. But I just don't think that's possible. I don't think there's anyone with personal, direct access to the throne room of God when it comes to circumstances like this. So the best way to prepare for the next hurricane is by deciding ahead of time to refuse to interpret the hurricane. An interpretation is not going to help you anyway. Only God is going to be able to help you. Psalm chapter 69, verse 1 says, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck." As this writer's problems raged, the psalmist didn't need an interpretation of his problems. He just needed God for his problems. And just as a sidebar here, as you care about loved ones, what they don't need is your interpretation of why what is happening to them is happening to them. Would you please spare them your interpretation? Your interpretation is not going to help them anyway. You're going to help them through the grace of God. And so just offer them you, your loving kindness and care, and spare them your interpretation of why this is happening to them. Now, as you know, I was in New Orleans already pre-evacuated. I know some of you were jealous. I didn't have to deal with any of this because I had already been out of town for a week. Just my good fortune. I don't know why. And so my wife had to evacuate on her own with my daughter who came back from college. And so they were in Atlanta and then Tennessee while I was in New Orleans taking care of my mom. And so on the Friday before Florence hit here, I turned on my phone and I'm just going to read you my conversation with my wife by text that morning. "Diana, how did you sleep last night?" My response, "Fine." "And you?" "Diana, okay until 4. Then I woke up worrying." Me, "About?" ? Diana, "Everything. From stuff flying through our windows, to looters, to Liz needing to get to school while the roads from here to there are flooded. I read some of the Tim Keller book I had on Kindle, and that helped. Then I read a devotional, and that helped. But it is easy to start thinking about it again." Now, I must confess, she lost me with the word looters. I just stopped reading after that. My wife is worried about looters. About people breaking through our window and stealing our 2 flat-screen TVs, our computer, my lawnmower in the garage. My poor wife is worried about looters. Bless her heart, I realized her anxiety was on overdrive, as it was for most of us. Now, I don't have to track hurricanes. My sister back in New Orleans does that for me, 2 weeks in advance. After what she went through with Hurricane Katrina, having lost everything during that storm, she self-admittedly suffers from a bit of PTSD when it comes to hurricanes. I mean, she genuinely does not want me or anyone else on the planet to have to go through what she went through. And so she tracks the storms. She sends me alerts way ahead of time. And so since I was already in New Orleans, she was keeping me informed. Now, my dad just couldn't get why I wasn't glued to the Weather Channel 24 hours a day. He was just puzzled by that. I got to be honest that after tuning in for about 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes in the afternoon and 5 minutes before bed, I couldn't see how doing more than that was going to help me. Was the hurricane going to become the center of my life for a week? I was like, no, thank you. So after I worked through my wife's looting concerns, I finally texted her back. And this is what I texted to her. I texted, repeat the Serenity Prayer 10 times today. Do you know that prayer? How it begins, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. By the way, she said that really helped, but that's another story. For me, I knew that that prayer had saved both my life and more centrally my mind many times over the years. And so I believe that if objects flew through our windows, if looters showed up and cleared the place, those were things I could not change, and I was ready to accept those things from New Orleans that I could not change in Myrtle Beach. And when I do that, my anxiety dissipates and my peace increases. Now, there was a spiritual mystic I was reading about a couple weeks ago who was admired for his peaceful nature. And someone asked him what his secret was. And his answer was, I'm okay with what happens. There's an Old Testament prophet, Habakkuk, who wrote basically the same thing. He wrote, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. It's Habakkuk's way of saying, I'm okay with what happens even if the worst happens. And so I felt that way all week as Florence came through our terrain, grateful for the absence of anxiety in my life. I drove home on Monday, and after 10 hours of driving, I hit my first detour, and I thought, after being in this car for 10 hours, if these detours put another 4 or 5 hours to my driving time, I don't care what that mystic says about being okay with what happens. I'm not going to be okay if that happens. I want to see my wife that I haven't seen in 2 weeks. I want to mow my grass when I get home, and I want to relax and watch some cable TV when I get home. Well, I'm glad to report I didn't have to find out. Those two detours only added about 40 minutes to my driving time. But I remember the words of Jesus, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? So as we prepare for the next hurricane, there is a way disciples are able to prevent anxiety from becoming their Lord and Master during an approaching hurricane. It's by accepting the things we cannot change, having the courage to change the things we can, and praying for the wisdom to know the difference between the two. So I understand, right, that there was a mandatory evacuation ordered for our area. Is that correct? Yeah, that was correct. And I also understand that some of you did not evacuate under that mandatory evacuation, although I've been told that that's not against the law to ignore mandatory evacuation orders. And I certainly understand why people sometimes stay. I stayed during Hurricane Matthew. Afterwards, I wish I had evacuated after being without power for a day. But most of us who stayed this time stayed, I'm sure, for good reasons. But there is always one bad reason to stay that sometimes people give for why they stay. That reason is, no one's going to tell me to leave my home. Yeah. And so I draw an analogy from that to this, reminding us as a church that submission is a central movement in the Christian life, to learn how to give in to and yield to the wishes of others. Jesus submitted to death on the cross. Ephesians 5:21 commands us to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And submit means to yield to or give in to or follow the lead or the direction of others. And as faithful Christians, we do this every day. We do it towards God, which means then we practice it towards others, towards our government, towards our spouses, towards our employers, towards our parents, towards our friends, sometimes our neighbors. And those Christians who learn how to practice submission on a regular basis are Christians who actually thrive in the kingdom of God. They are full of the Holy Spirit. So I just want to say this. If what had happened in New Bern or Wilmington had happened in Myrtle Beach instead, do you know what people who chose to stay would have caused? More problems. More problems for emergency personnel. More problems for the community at large. And more problems for family members and friends not here who were left to only worry and wonder if their loved ones are okay because of the news that they are hearing. And I say that to say this. I know that in our lives as Christians, when we refuse to submit to God, what we cause is what? More problems. More problems for ourselves and more problems for us. So the point isn't that this is a PSA for submitting to evacuation orders issued by the state. That is certainly your call, not my place to judge, and I do not judge. It's just a reminder to consider the idea of submission in all areas of our lives, including when hurricanes are headed our way. And after I stayed for Matthew and put my sister through great anxiety, I've just decided that I'm just going to submit to her concerns and leave so she doesn't have to worry about me. That makes sense to me. And that brings me to my final thought about hurricane preparedness. It has to do with mercy. Beatitude number 5 in our life as Christians is, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, the scripture describes God as the God of mercy. Pope Francis says, the name of God is mercy, and I agree with him on that. And in Beatitude number 5, we are called to practice who God is. God is merciful, and as his worshipers, we practice mercy. And let me tell you, when a hurricane's approaching, when it's here, and after it's left, leaving all kinds of mayhem in its wake, the thing God uses more than anything else to remedy some of that pain is people who practice mercy. So in preparation for the next hurricane, let us as a church make a decision now that when that happens, even when my anxiety is getting the best of me, more than my anxiety, I want my sense of mercy to rule and reign. So if I'm bumper to bumper with cars, I want to practice mercy as I evacuate. Come on, you can get in front of me. Come on, go ahead of me. And if I'm like in close quarters with people for days on end, and by the way, I love this social media post during the storm. It said, write down all the things you love about your spouse and kids, because after being cooped up with them for 3 days, you won't remember what they are. And so ahead of time, you know, decide, if I'm cooped up with people for like 5 days, I just want to be a merciful person. And then after the storm, when I see people in need, I want to be a merciful person, because it's God's antidote to all of the pain that comes in our fallen world. So if that means picking up a neighbor's tree limb, even though it's in my yard, I'm going to do that. I'm going to take care of that for my neighbor. Just find ways to practice mercy. And I'm saying as a church, as we evaluate how best to do this, for our neighbors to the north in North Carolina, and how to do it in days ahead for our loved ones in Conway. We want to find ways and will find ways to practice mercy. Isn't it good to be back together? We were robbed of a Sunday last Sunday. We missed it. Never going to get it back. We don't know how many Sundays we'll have together. Before our time is done, or before the Lord calls an end to this planet. And so may we be a church, for however long we have together, be a church that always seeks to be merciful to each other, to our neighbors, and even to ourselves. Because blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. If we can show you mercy before you go home by praying for you, counseling with you, or if you're ready to be baptized in the Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, we want to help you any way that we can. Just meet me down front, just together we stand and sing. With